Now to Anthony Cordesman with the Center for Strategic and International Studies here in Washington, D.C., for more on some of the military benchmarks the Iraqi government is supposed to meet. Anthony Cordesman, thanks for being with us.
A pleasure.
And one of the benchmarks calls for laws establishing a strong militia disarmament program. Any signs that the militias in Iraq are any less powerful now than they have been?
Well, none whatsoever. I think, in fact, when we look at what's happening, what you are watching is an effort to essentially take what are often local forces or militias and transform them into a substitute for the police and adequate Iraqi forces. The one major area where we can claim military progress since January of 2007 is the creation of tribal forces in Anbar that are fighting al-Qaeda, but these are local Sunni forces, and cosmetic statements of loyalty to the government don't really change their character. And this is the model we're trying to create in Diyala and other areas like the Baghdad Ring cities. So the progress has not only been zero, it has been retrograde, and with the encouragement of the United States.
Here's a broad benchmark, and it's an important one, benchmark number 13, reducing the level of sectarian violence in Iraq. How are they doing?
Well, one problem is we really don't know, because what you have is, at best, a count of casualties, which are almost impossible to tie sometimes to sectarian and ethnic violence. What you don't have is a map of increasing displacement of division of the country along sectarian and ethnic lines. There are some maps which are not publicly being circulated, which indicate that this problem is getting steadily more severe, even in Baghdad, where there has been some progress in the sense of talks between various groups. But Baghdad itself is becoming more and more polarized along sectarian lines, along with the rest of the country.
There's a training goal, more than one, but here's one of them, to provide 3 trained and ready Iraqi brigades to support Baghdad operations.
Well, I think when the Kurdish forces came down, people initially reported that they were more effective in dealing with Arab Sunnis and Arab Shiites than the army units which were Arab. The problem is they will rotate out. There's no sort of lasting presence. So is there a stable supply of 3 effective brigades? The answer is no. Is one brigade moving towards the point where it could be very effective? The answer is probably yes, but the benchmark itself hasn't been met.
I wonder what your take is of the need or necessity for these benchmarks. The U.S. ambassador in Iraq over the weekend told the New York Times, this is Ryan Crocker, said, "The longer I'm here, the more I'm persuaded that Iraq cannot be analyzed by these kind of discrete benchmarks." Do you think he has a point?
I think he's absolutely correct at every level. The truth is, this is a very slow process, where people are trying to set benchmarks measured in U.S. political time. They really can only do damage, because at best they create expectations which can't be met, and at worst deadlines which almost ensure the feeling of failure, even when over time you've made substantial progress.
So what do you substitute then for benchmarks? How do you measure progress?
I think what you do is, in every area we say there's a benchmark, we are talking about an important development. But rather than describing it as a benchmark, providing regular, credible reporting on what's happening in this area, pointing out the strengths and weaknesses in honest and objective terms, that is the kind of reporting that allows you to develop a credible strategy to know whether it's worth staying.
Well, Anthony Cordesman, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Military analyst Anthony Cordesman with the Center for Strategic and International Studies here in Washington. We also heard from NPR's Jamie Terabay in Baghdad. You can get a rundown of all 18 benchmarks that Congress set for the Iraqi government at npr.org.